Sports fans rejoice. You're listening to My Team, My Voice with MTMV Sports.
Keep it locked right here. You are listening to MTMV Sports.
Hey guys, welcome back to Sports Talk with C. Your girl is back with another episode. Happy Father's Day to all the great dads out there. I want you to enjoy this day. I'm sorry in Providence that it's not as beautiful, but still enjoy your day. Happy Juneteenth, guys! Also, this episode I got to chop it up with Sports Way with Dre Day Podcast. And of course, we have to talk Sue Bird. But before we begin, let's just take a small break. Welcome back, guys. You know, this platform almost been 2 years, and I've had the opportunity to meet some great people. Speaking of great people, I got to chop it up with Sports Way with Dre Day Podcast. His podcast, for one, is dope. You know, I was on his live show. His vibes is dope. And we both shared the love for the WNBA. His mom pushed him to do the podcast. And shout out to your pops for introducing you to the game of basketball. Introducing Dre. Good evening, Dre Day. It's about time we got you up on Sports Talk with C. Thanks for finally coming on my show. I greatly appreciate you, my brother. So how you doing this evening?
I am doing fine. Just chilling and relaxing on my off day. Watching New York Undercover, binge watching it. But
Good one.
Yeah. I just found out that it's on Peacock. So I'll no longer have to wait for it to be on Hulu Live to watch it. Now I can binge watch it whenever I want. So shout out to Peacock for putting New York Undercover on there. So now I can binge watch it.
Definitely got to go watch that.
Yes, please. So, yes, please. Please do so. Yes.
Tell us who you are and where you grew up, where you're from.
Dre Day is the name. The Hood's ESPN is the nickname. Crystal Street Golden Boy is the nickname. Representing Brooklyn, New York. I have a podcast, Sports Way with Dre Day Podcast. I've actually taken a little sabbatical with it right now, but when the NBA Finals is over, I will be back. I just went on vacation not too long ago and just had a bunch of stuff going on. So I said, you know what, let me, you know, take a little break from it. But once the Finals is over, I will be back.
Speaking of, you know, your podcast and how we've got to know each other is through basketball and I guess Instagram. But please tell me where your love of basketball comes from.
5 years old, my father teaching me. I remember being on his lap watching basketball games as a kid. See, people don't, it's like some people think, oh, you're 5 years old, you don't remember shit. Oh, nah, mm-hmm. Me, I remember shit. And I remember being that young age, 5-year-old, learning the game of basketball. That's why my favorite number is 5. My favorite number is 5 for many reasons, but that's one of the reasons I learned sports at 5. My favorite group is the Temptations. They got 5 members, the Jackson 5. So those are my 3 reasons on why 5 is my favorite number. So yeah, I would say that's where, like, that's basically where the spark of it came from, 5 years old.
And you grow up and, you know what I'm saying, New York City, you know, that's definitely a basketball culture right there. So just explain growing up what it was like having the love for basketball, especially when the New York Knicks was, you know, a squad. Speak about growing up in that time and being in that era as a kid and seeing greats.
Well, disclaimer, not a Knicks fan. But
of course not.
I definitely could speak on it. And again, like back then at that time, I mean, we talking early 90s. Like we talking like early 90s. This is when Ewan was there, Starks was there, Anthony Mason, RIP, Charles Oakley. That's when the Knicks were shit. But obviously, you know, they ran into, you know, you know, that goat in Chicago, and they couldn't, you know, really get no wins.
We're going to speak on why MJ's your goat, for sure. But, like, you know, I grew up in Little Old Rhodey, and I know my basketball love is crazy. So I just can only imagine being in New York City with them type of legends to see on your TV screen. Like, yes, I got to see there too, but I don't, it was different having it a team like that squad you just named in New York, being in New York. Bad enough New York's already not bad enough, but you know, New York's already, you think of rap, you think of basketball, you think of greatness, when all those things come after the word New York City. So you love basketball, we know that, but where does the woman's love come from when it comes to basketball? Because you don't see a lot of men who support women's basketball, and you got the hat on, you got the shirt on, you just was at a game, and you constantly talk about women's basketball. So just speak to me about why women's basketball is important to you and where the love for women's basketball came from.
It's very important, and I'm gonna let it be known. I wore this on purpose because I was coming on your show. Like I said,
all right, I got my girl Kalia up here.
I'm going to holla at C. I'm going to be on her pod today. So I said, you know what? Since I'm going to be on one of the Queen's pods, let me put on the hoodie and let me put on, you know, the snapback and support and show love to the ladies. But it's very important. I mean, I have been a supporter of the WNBA since its existence, 97. So I've been watching it for 26 years. And for me, like, the gender thing, man, that shit don't mean nothing to me. Basketball is basketball. I've been saying, like, if you would have known me 10 years ago, you'd have thought I was crazy because I was saying some of these girls was better than some of these niggas. And not for nothing, I'll still say that now. I still think some of these WNBA girls is better than the niggas. Like, would they beat them? Probably not, just over physicality, but it ain't gonna be no walk in the park. Because what people don't realize is a lot of these girls in the offseason, they're not training with girls, they're training with dudes. Look at the UConn's women's basketball team. Like, when they practice, they're not practicing with females, they're practicing with dudes to get ready for the game. So
like even when a lot of them go overseas, you know, playing overseas is a totally different ball game than playing in the States.
Yes, very much, very much, very much. I mean, my thing is, like, I'm glad it's getting the notoriety that it's getting now. I'm thankful, but I just wish more dudes would get on the ball with it, because I look at it like this. If the girls can go out there and wear their LeBron jerseys, they wear their Steph jerseys, they wear their KD jerseys, why is it so hard for us? Well, I'm not going to say us because I do. Why is it so hard for dudes to put on a Lisa Leslie jersey or Candace Parker jersey or Asia Wilson jersey? It's not that hard. Like, they need their flowers. They need that notoriety. And
I need a Rebecca Lobo jersey quick. I know. Oh, I need. Oh, oh. I need.
Shout out to her.
So before we start speaking about your woman legend and your men legend, I want to speak to you about where your idea came from to build your podcast, the difficulties of your podcast, and the greatness that you see and potential of your podcast growing.
Well, it started, August will make 4 years of me having it. I started it in 2018. At that time, like, I was just in a dark place. Like, I was in a very dark place at that time. And I remember my mother, she was, I guess she was in her room when I was watching TV or something. And she came in my room and she was like that, like, what's the one thing that you can do to get your mind off of what it is that you're dealing with? So I couldn't really answer the question because I'm like, wait a minute, you're asking me this? So she was like, what's the one thing that you've always wanted to do? I was like, talk sports. She was like, there you go. She was like, you need to go online right now, try to find out how you can start one, and then take it from there.
Shout out to Mom Dukes.
Yeah, mom's be knowing. So I went on YouTube and just typed in how to start a podcast. And then some video popped up and it was like the it's some app called Anchor where you could download it on your phone or computer and then just start recording. And you can create your podcast off that. So the rest became history. So that's basically how it started. The difficulties of it, I would say, is obviously, you know, you got to your guests that you be having lined up. Sometimes, you know, life happens. Sometimes, you know, you got to, sometimes curveballs come your way. You got to change, you know, you got to change plays and change formats and stuff like that. Sometimes you fly dolo and you got to do that shit on the cuff because life happens. With me, with my job, I work the evening shift. So a lot of my episodes I record is late at night. Like I'm up probably 1-2 o'clock in the lab recording. Some people I know, they do their shit early. Not me, because of my work schedule. So there's times you'll listen to an episode and I'm yawning, talking, because I'm up recording content for everybody, but I gotta give the people what they want. You know, there's some people out there that I've had some people tell me, and this is no bullshit. I've had people tell me they'll rather listen to me than to watch First Take or Undisputed because it's the same shit every day. They'll rather listen to me. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Wow. You'll rather listen to me. So that's the perfect compliment that I can get. So it's a lot of hiccups with this podcast game. It's not easy. You know, I wish, you know, so many people would stop trying to get into it because I think people think, you know, just sitting behind a table and talking into a mic, this shit is easy. It's not easy at all. First of all, you got to know what you're talking about because there's too many people out there that got these pods that really don't know what they're talking about. But that's another story for another day. But it's fun, though. It's therapeutic. It's a stress reliever. It's a safe haven. So, I'm glad that I'm able, to speak my piece on, you know, the sports that I love talking about and able to network with so many people, including yourself. You have an amazing pod as well. So
thank you. It's great to
hear flowers as well.
Hear that. You know, it's like you said, it's definitely hard to start a podcast, especially when you talk about sports, because when it comes to sports, yes, you have to know the fundamentals, of course. You know, a lot of it is based on opinion, knowing the game. But then there's a lot of times where you really don't know and you're saying anything. And I'm like, how can you truly be a basketball fan if you feel that way or if you don't like that? So it's over through the podcast, I've learned that you have to just do your podcast and keep it moving and don't let anybody steer you away to be somebody else or think like somebody else or change it to be like somebody else, because I feel like you can't be authentic if you're not who you are.
Facts.
And shout out to Sis Terica, because when she was talking to me at the game, you know, I'd love to ask questions just to learn, get knowledge. You know, you're doing it live. You're doing it off the, you know, you don't have time to go back, look at your notes and make sure, does this question sound good? Is this question right? So I asked her and she's like, just be you and stay authentic, because that's the first thing people don't know. That's the first thing people notice is when you're not authentic. So
she's absolutely right. She's absolutely right. You got to be you. You have to be you. You can't sugarcoat it. Be you. And I think, like, funny story, that's one of the reasons on why my parents don't listen to my pod, because I curse. Because I've told them, I'm like, this is me. Like,
I'm passionate about
what I speak about. Oh, you can get your point across without cursing.
Sometimes, right?
Not necessarily. It depends on what the conversation is. Like, mm-hmm. like if it's something with tennis, okay, cool. I may not use no curse words. But if it's something dealing with
it's a game
MJ,
seven.
Oh no, nah, there's gonna be some F bombs in there.
So Speaking of MJ, I know that's your GOAT. Give me 5 reasons why.
5 reasons on why he's the GOAT?
Why he's your GOAT.
I don't really say GOAT. I say he's the God.
Okay. Explain that to me.
I mean, why be a GOAT when you could be the God? You know, I know who your GOAT is, and I have no problem with it. I have no issue. I'm not even gonna try to sit here and try to bash Braun. I have the absolute respect for that dude. Not for nothing. I probably respect him more off the court than I do on the court. But for me, I mean, MJ is the GOAT because of what he's done for the game. You know what I'm saying? We're not even gonna talk about the sneaker shit. Obviously, everybody and their moms got sneakers now, primarily because of him. Now, I know Dr. J, Magic, and Bird, they had Converse sneakers and shit like that. But Jordan was the one that really revolutionized the game when it came to the sneakers. Like, he got sneakers that you could wear with anything. Niggas can't wear LeBron's walking down the street. You can only wear LeBron's when you're playing basketball. J's, that's anything. You can wear that whenever. You know what I mean? So you got the sneaker factor. All right. His competitiveness.
Okay.
We ain't even going to go there with that. You know what I'm saying? Everybody talk about Mamba mentality. God bless the dead Kobe. But where you think he got that Mamba mentality from?
MJ, I agree with you on that. I agree with you. Why I say I can't, because I never seen anything different. You know what I'm saying? When it came between the two. When I seen that jumper, I seen that from Jay. And if there's no disrespect, because that cold breast, you were nice. You know what I'm saying? Can't nobody take away your game.
You can't.
When I first started to really get into basketball, that was one thing that I've always said. It was that fadeaway jumper just was not different.
I love that move. I love that move. When I used to play ball, that was my move. Because I emulated MJ and Kobe. I played the 2 and the 3, so, you know, that was my thing. Do the fadeaway jumper. All right, I gave you
3.
Competitiveness. The mind games. Mm-hmm. The mind games that he played with people. The trash talking. That's 4. Let me think of one more. It gotta be one more. Put it like this. You have all these dudes that's played in finals. Everybody has this thing where they say, oh, you dream to play of a Game 7 in the NBA finals. You dream to have a win or go home. Mm-hmm. My guy didn't have to do that. My guy finished this shit in 6 games or less. He don't know about 7 games. See, Boston and Golden State right now, Golden State can end this in 6 tonight.
It's over. But we'll get in that.
But my guy never had to experience 7 games. He closed his shit out in 6. So when it's time to get it done, he gets it done. I can keep going on, but we got a show to do, man.
All right. Speaking of, we've talked about MJ. You had, you know, you went to go see your GOAT, Candace. Just explain to me why Candace Parker is your girl. Why and how was it to be at the game to see her play?
I've been following her since she was in high school, Naperville High School. Now, at first, it was because, I mean, I was at that tender age of a teenager, at that age, it was about her looks. It wasn't about her game. It was about her looks. But as I got older, and when I started seeing her at Tennessee, I'm like, yo, wait a minute. This girl got some serious game. So it was like, all right, let's throw away the beauty. She got that already. Like, we don't even need to worry about that. Let's focus on her game. And the girl just blew me away. Now, I wouldn't say she's my GOAT. Me, personally, I say Lisa Leslie's the GOAT.
Okay.
But as far as right now, I mean, Candace probably is my favorite basketball player of all time on the female side, but I don't think she's the GOAT. But to answer your question about that game that I went to, it was a beautiful experience. Like, that was probably the best seats that I've ever had at any WNBA game. I mean, I have some good seats at those games, mm-hmm. but this one in particular, oh no, I had to twist it up a notch with this one because she came to town. So I was like, all right, it's my weekend off. Got to be in the building for this. So I went online. I said, all right, I can't just go without wearing no jersey. I got to wear the jersey with it. So, you know, cop the jersey. Because I remember when she was with the Sparks and the Liberty used to play in the Garden, I did the same thing with that. I had my Sparks jersey on. And the crazy thing is, when I went to that game, people was giving me some stares. I'm like, why y'all looking at me like that? I'm saying to myself, is it a problem with a nigga wearing a female jersey? I'm like, is it a problem? So where I was sitting at, I was the only Sparks fan. So a lady sitting next to me, she was like, yeah, you a bold young man wearing that jersey. I'm like, why? She was like, because it ain't too many guys that wear these jerseys. I said, that's the problem. I said, I think more need to come outside to do it. But not for nothing, when I went to the game, I did see some dudes wearing, you know, they was wearing Sabrina Ionescu jerseys, mainly Sabrina. Shout out to her. Ever since you know, made that little comment about her.
You know, not about being consistency, but I appreciate Coach, you know, making the moves that she made, bringing in Dangerfield. And I don't want to mess up her name, so I'm not going to say it. But the tall young lady from China.
Yes.
She doubt in that paint area. She's killing them between her and Dangerfield. The way that them two are just creating enough space for Sabrina to do her thing, for her to just shoot. It's been absolute great to see New York come back into the game. And when Dee Dee comes back, and when Benaja Laney comes back, and Natasha Howard's starting to get into the groove. I do want to see more from Dawson. I do want to see her get back to her, you know, playoff game that she just had with Chicago.
Right.
But I want to see the full squad for the Liberty. I definitely want to see.
They're gonna be a problem when those two girls come back. When those two girls come back, they are going to be very, very dangerous. But yeah, that game, it was a beautiful experience. Very, very beautiful experience. Now, obviously, like, I tried to tell people while I was there, I'm like, I'm not hating Liberty. It's just that I love Candace. Like, New York's the home team, so of course I'm gonna support them, but with this jersey I got on, not today. I'm not supporting them today. Any other time?
I mean, you know, Connecticut's my squad, as you can see. You know that.
Yes.
But, you know, it's like, I can't. There's so many tough basketball players on each squad that it's so hard not to not like them.
Yeah, it's like, not like
each
not
team. It's so hard not just like a squad and be like, nah, I can't. Like, no, like.
Sue Bird just announced that this was going to be her last season. But we kind of figured that out early this
last
season.
Last season, right.
With
right.
The whole last
season. One more. Right.
So we kind of pretty much figured that out already. The crazy thing is this. She has one more game against the Liberty this year, and this Sunday in Barclays. I so wanted to go to that game, but being that my job, they need me to work. I mean, I was going to bang out of work this weekend. Let me just call it what it is. I was going to bang out of work this weekend to go see her, but being that they messed up on some short notice thing, they need me to work a certain unit that I can't call out. So, Sue, I can't be there for your last Barclays game, but
I'll be
you.
In the building when she's in CT tomorrow.
Oh, she'll be there tomorrow?
Yeah.
Dope. But, I mean,
so hopefully she comes. I don't know if she's still out or cleared to play yet, so I don't know. I really am not going to speak to it because, honestly, I truly don't know.
Go of the point guard. She's definitely my favorite. She's definitely my favorite point guard ever. I mean, bona fide winner. Everywhere she went, she won. Whether it was high school, college, the pros, obviously, in the Olympics, Santa Tarazio, the only 5-time gold medal winners. That's from anybody, male and female. So, I mean, if it's her time to hang it up, it's her time to hang it up. And on top of that, she's one of the ambassadors of the WNBA. So now it's time for her to, you know, put that ambassador hat on and help elevate the game.
Someone to score for you in the fourth quarter? Super, got you.
To another level, you know what I mean?
Got you. And it,
Salute Sue Bird.
And man, prayers to Fouls, man, for it to be your last year.
Yes.
And you can't play right now. It just sucks because I would love to see it.
It does. Especially
just to look at your game and just you did it so effortlessly. You did it with compassion. You did it. As she said, she's so shy, and being in the WNBA gave her friends, gave her a voice. And the friendship she's made, the impact she's made to the game, the fact that she stayed where she stayed and didn't leave them, coach these young women over there in Minnesota. And it just, when she got hurt and I read that, I was like, wow, man, to go down.
Facts.
Like, on your last year, your last dance, it's like, just come back for one more, because I just want you to go out with a bang and kill it. Yeah. You know,
I'm with you. I'm with you. I really hope she changed her mind, because for you, this ain't the way you're supposed to go out. Not you. I mean, this could have been a bench warmer that says, "Oh, this is their last year," and they get hurt. Cool. Bye. Sayonara. Nice knowing you. But not Sylvia Fouls. No, like I truly hope that when this season is over, she sits back and says, you know what? I can't go out like this. Like, I want to leave it all on the court. Let me come back for one more year. So I'm definitely hoping that's the case. So well wishes to Sylvia Fouls. And since we're on well wishes, prayers to Brittany Griner.
Yeah, definitely. You
know, bring her home for sure.
This don't make no sense. This is ridiculous. I don't know what else more needs to be done, how many more petitions need to be signed, how many voices need to be heard, how many cries need to be shed. Like, bring her home. Someone's life should not be used for your strategy. Figure out another way to do it. We're in 2022. People's lives shouldn't be for bargain.
Like you can tell that Phoenix team right now
needs her.
Basketball
mentally,
like, that's the furthest thing from their mind right now. Like, with them struggling the way they are right now, they're not focused on the game the way they should be. And the reason why they're not is because
their sister's not there.
Their sister's not there. So
it's bigger than basketball right now.
So for anybody out there that's on some, they bumming it this season, they not bumming it this season. It's just that, you know, their mind ain't focused on it because a sister's somewhere that, you know,
we don't know what's going on. You know,
it's time for her to get home.
We don't know what's going on over there, and we, as fans, we're hurt. Now imagine as sisters, as family.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine what they're going through. So if it takes every person in this world, or every person that's listening to me and Dre today, to stop saying something, start hashtagging, you need to do it, because it's definitely time to bring our fellow sister home, like ASAP. Because watching WNBA just doesn't feel the same watching without her being there. Like, it truly does not feel the same. And yes, I know I'm new, and it's only been going on 2 years that I've been really in tune to the WNBA. But
hey, you on board? That's all that matters. You on board?
Once I know WNBA, knowing who BG is. If I could, before it, if you asked me 2 years ago who was a WNBA player, I could say Lisa, you know, of course I can say Dawn, Rebecca, you know, you could say all those names, but if you were saying BG, and that's all you would probably get from me 2 years ago, but now it's a different story. But speaking of games and basketball, we have a game 6 tonight.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
At the beginning of this, I told my mom, the Warriors were winning in 6.
That's what I said. That's what I said.
Watching the games, tell me what the Warriors need to do to close out tonight.
Well, the first thing they better do is they better attack early, because that crowd in Boston will be rowdy. They will be rowdy tonight. I do believe that Steph is not going to have a same performance like game five. So I don't expect him to not make any threes tonight. Now, do I expect him to miss nine of them? Depending on how many he shoot, but I do think he's going to hit about four or five tonight. This is game six. Am I not mistaken?
Yeah, Clay's about to go off.
Game six, Clay. So, you know, Boston got their work cut out for them. I tell you that much.
What do Boston need to do to win this game?
I think Tatum and Brown both need to hit 30. If they both can hit 30 and the role players step up, they'll win. I think both of them is going to really have to be on some shit tonight, because it's desperation. There is no game tomorrow if you lose. There is. And now everybody is talking about, like, I was watching something earlier, and they was talking about how old Jason Tatum is tired, yada, yada, yada. I'm not trying to hear that tired shit, because at this point, everybody is tired. When you get to this time of the month in June, everybody is tired. So I'm not trying to hear that tired shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you either got it or you don't. And not for nothing, if Boston was to win, Jaylen Brown would be the MVP, not Tatum. So he better wake up, smell the coffee. Like, you talk about your love for Kobe. Well, guess what? You better put that Mamba mentality on tonight. But this is not new to them. The last two series, they've been down 3-2, and they came back and won. So I'm not going to sit here and say they don't have a chance, but I did say Golden State was going to win in six, so I'm going to stick to it. Now, the fan of me definitely wanted to go to seven games, because I ain't ready for the season to end yet. But I did say Warriors in six, so hopefully, you know, they prove me right tonight.
I must say this. Game five, Boston should have won, especially with Curry shooting the way he did. Yes, you locked him down. I'm going to give you credit for locking him down. But Wiggins had himself a game. Poole hit some timely shots. And if Boston's going to win tonight, not only do Jason and Jaylen have to score 30, Horford is going to have to give me at least 16. Marcus Smart's going to have to give me at least 16. Robert Williams probably going to have to give me about 15 and 10. Mm. Just because we know Steph Curry's not going to have that game again. Steph Curry's not going to have that game again. We know just from history, Klay Thompson is going to go off in game six. You're not stopping that. It's been like that for the past how many years? Klay, and he's continued to show you in these past, last series in game six, he went off. So in order for Boston to win tonight, it definitely has to be a team effort. It has to be a team effort. Jaylen has to start at the beginning. Jason, you can't wait to go off in the end. You have to do it all. Them turnovers have to stop. Them have to stop.
The worst thing that can happen, and this is for Golden State, the worst thing that can happen is if they lose, if Boston come back and win the series. Mm-hmm. Because,
of course, if they come back and they win, dismantle, just start over.
If they was to come back and win this series, which I'm hoping is not the case, you know, everybody has this, the whole fascination now is, oh, if Steph wins, where does he rank in the history? Is he top 10 or is he this, is he that?
Can I answer that?
Go ahead.
The only thing I said, just because, you know, we got Alex. The only thing I said was, I can believe his name can be mentioned. Not really, you know, gonna be up there in the rankings, but it can be mentioned, you know. That's all I've said about the situation. Not saying, because there's a lot of things you have to do to be on that graded GOAT topic, GOAT conversation. You have to do that. But to inch his name, throw it in there, he's at that point. Does he have a lot to back it up? No. You get what I'm saying? That's the only thing I said to the whole Steph Curry, if he wins, if he was able to win this year, that's what it would do. That's the only thing it would do.
Right.
Because he's proof he's the greatest shooter. There's no, we already know that.
There's no denying that. There's definitely no denying that. But it's gonna be dope tonight. That crowd in Boston will definitely be
live.
Oh,
I know. Listen,
if I was Clay, he just said something a few days ago where he said that Boston crowd was, you know, like we've heard stories about the Boston crowd.
It's true, because I've got kicked out, so it's true. What you hear about TD is absolutely true.
What better way than to close out the season by celebrating on their floor? Especially after what he's gone through the last two seasons. Like, this will be, like, every, like we talking about Steph so much.
I would love to see the Splash Brothers tonight.
I would be more happy for Clay than I would be for Steph. Because of what we've done with these last 2 years.
Yes, I would. I love Clay Thompson. So if we're going to talk about a Warrior fan, that would be the Clay. That would be the only person. And the way Steph looked at the end of that game, every time he has that look in his face, Steph comes back and scores 35, 40, shoots his lights out, turn around, not even looking, knocking down shots. We're going to get the old Splash Brothers tonight. And if Andrew Wiggins has another game like that on top of them playing like it's over. It's over. Well, thank you, Jay, for coming on Sports Talk. We'll see. We're definitely going to have to meet up again, especially right before the playoffs, you know, the WNBA playoffs, and get our predictions in for sure. But I definitely appreciate you coming rocking with your girl, per usual. Nothing but love over here on this side.
You already know. I'm a fan of yours. This is not blowing smoke up your ass. I'm an absolute fan of yours. I love your content. I love it. I love the vibes. I love your spirit. So just keep doing what you're doing. Like that lady said at the WNBA game, just be yourself. Don't fake the funk. Just keep doing you. That's all I can say. But you definitely got a fan over here in Brooklyn.
All righty, Dre. It was nice to chat up with you. Thanks for coming on Sports Talk with C.
No doubt.
Earlier this week, Sue Bird announced that she is going to retire after this year. 21 years in the WNBA, played for 19 seasons, you know, out due to injury. She is one of the best point guards this game has ever seen. She's a four-time WNBA champion, a 12-time WNBA All-Star, a five-time All-WNBA first team, a three-time All-WNBA second team, three-time assist leader, five-time Russian national champ, five-time EuroLeague champ. We all know she played for the great UConn franchise. Was the Big East Player of the Year in 2001 and also the AP College Player of the Year in 2001. She's definitely a legend. And of course, one of the biggest advocates for the WNBA. I had a pleasure to see her and hear a little bit of her, you know, what the WNBA has been, what it's like retiring. And I got to hear Coach Miller talk about Sue before their game against Seattle Storm and how great he thinks of her, what the league thinks of her. So, guys, let's just take a listen to what Coach Miller had to say.
To the two places have meant to her through the year. So she's just meant so much to the game. You know, there's no question the best point guard, you know, in our game. And what's remarkable for me is coming into the leagues, you know, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, of the how well she's played and performed, you know, on the second half of her career, the championships, her efficiency, and her productivity, is just remarkable. And her commitment to her fitness and nutrition, which has extended her career, which very few people have seen at the length of her career in this league. So she just means so much. She's a great ambassador. She's really helped grow the game. She's a great spokesperson. And she has a platform that she's now, in recent years, really used for social activism and for the betterment of all our women and all our league.
Before I head out, free BG. C's out.